Welcome to season one of the Another Level podcast series. I'm Connor Smith, one of your hosts. Here's the rundown on what this is. Our first season, starting sometime in the next couple of months, we'll have 10 episodes, or maybe 12 if we get ambitious, each one featuring a different guest or guests, focusing on a movie or body of work from their past that we want to discuss with them. Some might be focused more on the movie, some podcasts we might talk more about other shit. We reserve the right to massage this format to fit the conversation we most want to have. At the end of the day, that is the goal with these, to bring you an entertaining conversation about skiing and ski filmmaking. We're recording the episodes for season one right now on an ongoing basis, but consider this a prelude to those conversations. We wanted to catch up about this past season and talk about the state of the industry before we move into more focused episodes with guests on them. After we do one season, probably going to take a break for a while before bringing it back to your ears. Maybe we'll switch it up in the future, do a season diving into notable events from skiing past. Cough, cough, Araj Masters. Who knows? If you got ideas for guests you want to hear on the pod, movies you want to hear us talk about, feedback in general, let us know. Hit us with an email, podcast@level1productions.com. As always, check out the website, level1.ski. Couple deals going on there right now. Get 40% off the Trees double tube face mask with the code MASK19. That's MASK19. And any order over $50 right now gets a free random neck tube from our old Premier swag stock. Check it out. I think that is enough intro. Let's get into it. Here we go. Joined by the magic of the internet by two of my favorite people, Josh Berman. What's up with it?
Oh, hey, buddy. So for one, I was hoping that this was going to be some sort of video call so we could all see each other. Because for one, it would help with the social isolation. And then I was going to brag about the fact that I was wearing a face mask today.
Impressive.
Alone in the office.
Wow. Commitment.
Well, I'm not actually wearing it on my face, but it's just a neck tube. But gotta be prepared.
Doing your part. I like it. Friedel Cody, what's up with you?
I'm just hanging out here in Glacier, Washington. It's a beautiful day, like borderline summer. Very sunny and warm. Very nice.
We got 70-something degrees here in Denver.
Word. That sounds amazing.
It's nuts.
Yeah. April 8th, we're recording this. Yeah. Yeah, we'll take it. If we can't be riding power with something, I might as well have some nice spring weather.
Yeah, I feel you there. So for the listeners to know, we're going to try and keep all virus quarantine related talk to this first episode here so as not to bore you slash stress you out with all that discussion, because you're getting enough of it, I'm sure. But
We don't want to contaminate the rest of the podcast, basically.
Exactly. We need to keep it quarantined to this episode. But I want to hear how you guys are doing, holding up. Friedel, you just called this suspended reality that we're living in. What's your take? What's life like right now?
I mean, it's probably the same as like a bunch of other people, but certainly in the snow world. But I mean, everything kind of just like came, everything got frozen. Life got frozen about close to a month ago, I don't know, mid-March, and everything just froze instantaneously. And
dude, that feels like it was like 4 months ago.
Yeah, when the NBA shut down. Yeah, it does. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, everybody's plans got canceled, and we all had, like, being in the snow film game, I think everyone relies on, unless you're filming street, I think a lot of us rely on March and April to really get it done. That's the harvest season. So that sort of, has been eliminated, and now we're kind of, yeah, suspended reality where you can't like move. It's hard to move forward with life at the moment, but you're also still stuck in like this quasi winter zone, or at least I am.
Is all filming on hold for you and Parker at the moment? Are you guys getting out at all, or is it just like done?
It's pretty much done. I mean, as soon as we had some grand ambitions, like for the best season ever, but in a lot of ways, our season just wasn't normal anyway, because we chose to be based out of one place for the majority of the winter, which is Mount Baker area, like Mount Baker, Washington, like home resort style. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
it was like we were already here and kind of just doing that anyway and weren't traveling. We did do a lengthy trip to Japan in January, but like, we were already kind of hunkered down here, so when everything stopped, it just stayed the same for us. But we had, you know, like a bunch of trips that got canceled, and then they closed the resort here, and that kind of coincided with a big warm up, and so it was easy just to stop doing what we were doing, and we were kind of exhausted. So it was like, oh, get a break, but then all of a sudden, that break goes on for 2 months. But we did, we got another storm cycle here that we just went out to like do a little shred, a little power surfing, pretty mellow style, just to do something. And it was really enjoyable and chill.
Just for the soul, Mar?
For the soul, dude. Mental health break. But we have a luxury of being as close to the mountains as you possibly can be. So we're not commuting anywhere to go do that, which I know has been an issue in places, other states and whatnot, and in Europe and stuff. But
right.
Yeah, we were very fortunate to live in the mountains, like where we can just go up the road and go take a lap and not really see anybody or anything like that.
Word. Josh, yeah. What about you? What's your routine look like these days in April, where I'm sure you'd normally be getting out a lot?
Oh, man, it's funny. I was thinking about that today. I think this is going to be the first time in my entire life where I get to witness spring actually happen, where I like see the trees start to bud and then the leaves and flowers bloom. Because, you know, I was talking to my wife, Annie, about that this morning. Like, I've never gotten to witness it. Because it's always a thing. I'm in Denver for a couple days around this time of the year. Then I take off or somewhere and I get back and all of a sudden it's like summer. So, I mean, clearly things are much different now than they've ever been before. I mean, my routine, to be honest, I get to sleep in an extra hour and then I wake up my 7-year-old son, Forrest, and spend most of the morning trying to keep him entertained and make sure his brain doesn't melt from watching too much YouTube, which is a thing. And otherwise, trying to just juggle emails and maintain all the social media stuff. And then I'll usually go to the office for a couple hours in the afternoon, which I guess is technically illegal. Like, I shouldn't really be here right now. But I mean, it's our own private office and there's nobody else here. So I feel pretty good about it. But I mean, for one, I do it because it's a nice change of scenery and helps me avoid a little bit of cabin fever. And I get to tie into all the servers and do some editing and work on some projects that are going to be ongoing for the foreseeable future. So, I mean, I've got plenty of stuff to do, which is nice, but it's a massive shift in gears. I mean, like Friedel alluded to and everybody's aware of, like, winter came to a very abrupt end. And, you know, all these plans that, I mean, really for me this year in particular, it was my entire season was loaded to the second half of March and April, and then maybe even into May a little bit. And I hadn't even, you know, aside from a trip to Jackson and a couple trips up to the mountains here in Colorado, I hadn't even gone anywhere really done too much. So the season for me never even really happened, which is nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. So obviously this is the first year in 20 years that there's not a level one annual project to shoot for. So I want to hear from both of you guys about like what's going on? What are you shooting for? What were the trips you have been going on, Josh?
Well, first off on that topic, I feel extremely lucky that this, you know, timing wise, if this had happened last year and we were in the middle of number 20, I mean, that would have been a sad state of affairs. I mean, obviously that's a somewhat selfish comment to make, but, and I can't help thinking about it. Just the fact that, we're in this interesting situation now where we're not making this annual ski film for the first time ever. And I mean, any other year, it would have been a huge wrench in the gears regardless, but it would have, it would have really, I don't know, been a very tougher pill to swallow if this was in the middle of what was our 20th and something that we obviously put a lot of extra time and energy and resources and blood, sweat, and tears into. So I'm feeling fortunate that we were able to pull that off before this happened.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I'm in a good spot, relatively speaking, in the sense that I'm working on a bunch of longer term projects. The unfortunate reality is that before all this hit, we had all of our contracts floating around in the ether unsigned. And I can't imagine at what point we're ever going to get a contract signed for any kind of support. So that's a different story. But regardless, to answer your question, I've been working on a project with Trevor Kennison this year, which started out last fall as what was supposed to be this little self-contained web project that might have been like a little 5-minute piece, I think was the original goal, where he and Fat Tire came to me and they said, hey, like Trevor wants to go back to Vail Pass, which is the site of his accident, which will now have been, I think, 5 years ago, roughly. And he wants to build the jump in the spot where he crashed and broke his back and do a backflip on his sit ski. And Trevor, for those that don't know him already, is a very charismatic, just like awesome, exciting, wonderful human to be around. And he's got great camera presence and he's got a really cool story. And so when they came to me with this project, I was really excited. For one, I've been wanting to do something that tells a story. And two, I didn't really want to you know, sink my teeth into too much snow sport related content production this year because I wanted to mix it up. But this is different enough that it was something that I was really excited about. And sure. As soon as we started to get into it, though, it's like, man, this is not a 5-minute web piece. This is a 20-minute like short film piece. And then from there, it's like, no. This is not a 20-minute short film piece. This is like a full, like, you know, 40-minute something. And now it's a 2-year, probably 60 to 90-minute feature-length doc project. So it has, it's evolved a lot over the past, 6 months or however long we've been working on it. And the scope and the storyline keeps getting bigger and crazier and more interesting and all that fun stuff as time goes along. Unfortunately, like, you know, the rest of the world, everything is kind of put on hold right now. So not much going on. And we had our biggest and, well, not quite the biggest plans because we actually crossed a few of those things off our list. But we had a lot of exciting stuff lined up for the spring that's not going to happen. And we're just kind of treading water for now because the other part of the project, which I was assuming I'd be able to take care of this summer, would have been traveling around the country interviewing people. Because that's a big part of something like this. But the reality of, well, you know, airline travel and then being able to, you know, go set up and shoot interviews like close up and personal with people is, I mean, that's just not happening right now. And it's going to be interesting to see when it's safe and cool to do that kind of thing. So really everything's sort of on hold.
Yeah. Word. Does the project have a name yet? I'm curious.
It does. It finally does. Full Circle is the name of the project.
Dope. I like it.
Which, thanks, man. Yeah, it took, I don't know, like many, many, many days and maybe weeks of brainstorming with Shuey and Trevor and a whole bunch of other people that are involved in the project and I. And it's funny, we had a really, well, pivotal day of shooting. And at the end of the day, Trevor was like, man, this is so cool. Like everything's just come full circle and blah, blah, blah. And he's just like going off about how excited he is. And I'm like, stop. Like that, you just said it. Like that is the title of the movie, Full Circle. And it'll make a lot more sense when I can tell more of the story lines behind it, which can't really go into too much about that right now. But I mean, yeah, it was one of those things that's just like, as soon as somebody says it, it's like, oh, of course, like that is the title that we've been looking for. And yeah, it's nice to be able to put a name on something, right?
Yeah, for sure. It makes it real in some ways.
Absolutely, because prior to that, we're just like, oh, the Trevor documentary, the Trevor Project, and now it's like, well, we still feel like that's what we call it most of the time, but yeah, it's real. It's happening.
Dope.
Maybe not for two more or three more years, depending on how these next 6 months go, but yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Word. Yeah, I'm excited to see it. I really am. Trevor, for people who don't know, is the sit skier who sent Corbett's a little while back, which went super viral and was really insane. So seeing actual footage from him shot by a real filmer is going to be so sick. So I'm hyped.
Thanks, man.
Friedel, what about you and Parker, Nothing Confidential? What's the story behind that name?
It's just Nothing. Nothing Confidential is the name of the Instagram account.
Nothing? Just Nothing?
Yeah, Nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, you can't get the Instagram handle Nothing. Yeah, I guess we kind of missed the opportunity to drop that. We had it all lined up last fall when we were recording the previous series. But, yeah, we're working on Nothing.
What are you up to, Friedel?
Nothing. No, it's a, the, so the, I guess the genesis of that is when Parker and I were filming last two seasons, it's just sort of, I don't know, he's exposed to powder surfing and snowboarding and all these other, disciplines that you can do on snow, I guess, that were also, we were evolving when we were on snow, and we were talking about making just a powder surfing movie called Nothing, which, I don't know, just came into his head as like kind of a description of what it feels like when you're doing it, I guess. It's not a nihilistic title by any means. It's just more like the stripped down pureness of floating on snow or whatever. It is like the most perfect title, I think, for just this year and season in general, because it has like, in a lot of ways, like the least expectation tied into it.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it feels as everything just evolves and changes, like outside of what we can control, it just feels more and more appropriate. So yeah, but essentially this movie revolves around Parker White, the life and times of Parker White and and friends. And it's been years like in the making in terms of like future planning, like what we wanted, kind of a passion project or a dream project that we're like, oh, if we just weren't filming for a normal movie, like what would we make? And we had been talking about that, and then all of a sudden, you know, season 19-20 is like, well, we're not filming for a normal movie, like let's make that thing we're talking about making. And 686 and Rosignol came on board to support it, and yeah, big ups to them for having big trust and belief. But we certainly got started making it, and we're gonna finish, but it's just not gonna finish the way that, you know, all best case scenario plans.
Sure. Will it still come out this fall then, or are you gonna prolong the timeline?
Yeah, I don't think it makes any sense to prolong it. I think that if I would rather have it just be like self-contained, like we accomplished in a certain capacity what we needed to accomplish at like on the minimum level, I think, which is like documenting three snow riding disciplines, which is skiing, snowboarding, and pow surfing, and intertwining those things. So we basically had like a full-on board sports trip to Japan to start the season off, and then the second half of that was Mount Baker. We had like Lucas Stoll Madison, LSM, joined us in Japan again. Mm-hmm. And then in Baker, we had Duncan Adams come stay here for a while with us, as well as like some other 686 homies, homies first, 686 team members second, I guess, but like Forrest Bailey and Matt Wainhouse and yeah, snowboard crew kind of. So
sick.
Yeah, sort of a dream team in a lot of ways. I don't know. We were making magic, it felt like, but it all got sort of aborted, I guess.
Yeah, what was the plan for late March and April? Where were you guys headed?
Yeah, so we were going, Rossignol had set up a Black Ops trip to Black Ops Valdez.
Oh.
So we were going to go to Alaska. Mm. Which would have been Parker's first time there, and then had a little feature thing going at Mammoth and Kimbo Sessions as well. So those were like the three big things that got canceled on us, which was like three dream trips, I guess. But not crying about it. No tears are shed. I'm going to miss hanging out with the dudes at Kimbo, I think. I'm really gonna miss that. But all said and done, it's just not the end of the world. I mean, there's like no shots you can get that are like more important than just everyone being healthy and whatnot. So not sweating it, but
these are all hardcore first world problems.
Yeah, exactly. And like again, it's already not a normal season, so you just kind of have to like roll with it and make something cool. And I think it's like more lies with me to like be able to edit what we do have like into something interesting instead of just getting more and more banger stuff. So that's kind of cool. And also, I think it was kind of almost fortuitous in the sense that like we're starting to film like a feature length movie, which very much didn't want to do. So now you're like forced to work with less, which is almost like more concise. You can make like at least in the editing process is like way more, it's a cleaner process, right? So
for sure.
I'm just making lemonade over here, you know what I'm saying? Gonna try.
For sure. I'm curious to get your guys' takes on what it means for the sport as a whole a little bit. Because we don't, like, it is such a first world problem to be bummed that skiing isn't a thing anymore. But, you know, for people who base their lives around this sport, which I'm sure the people listening to this podcast are a good percentage of, like, it does suck, and I find it tough personally to balance like the suckiness of it with the perspective on it that, you know, well, this whole lifestyle is a privilege anyway to begin with. So I'm curious if you guys have any tips or perspective for people on what it means to, you know, not have a Mount Hood spring pass and not have an Alaska season for the people who are going to go to Alaska.
Well, I mean, this is all like, if this shutdown is just limited to the second half of our winter, essentially, then it'll just be a blip, you know. Mm. I think it'll be quickly forgotten if people are like on skis next fall or early winter or whatever. But in general, man, I think it's like, it's kind of like a blessing in disguise in a lot of ways, in the sense that like people, we don't need to freaking travel all over the goddamn place to do this stuff. And we've just been living like an extreme life of luxury. And I know that's the dream. And obviously if you live somewhere and you want to go somewhere better to ski or whatever, that's like a dream for a lot of people. And it's certainly for me, but I think that there's kind of like, it's kind of like if you go stripping you down to like where you live, right? Mm-hmm. And keeping things local, and in a lot of senses, that's kind of, there's some beauty in that, not having this. I mean, it really forces you to think like way smaller than just like, oh, we need to fly here, drive there, whatever. And I think that that's something that like all these essentially like environmentalists have been calling for, but this, you know, no one does that voluntarily, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, or at least we haven't been, you know, and
totally.
Now it's like, oh.
Oh, if it's there, you're going to take advantage of it.
Hell yeah. Yeah, yeah. So here we are all being like held hostage in our own communities, which isn't that bad, I think. But I do think
there are a lot of silver linings.
It's sorry like people should be allowed to go recreate in some capacity. Like, but
yeah, that's one of the other things I'm curious about. Social media is really hard right now because if you get on there, you could see everyone. You could see so many people doing what you want to be doing. And I particularly found that tough. What is your perspective on how people should be approaching the entire situation right now?
That's a great question. I think, you know, I can speak to that from where I currently sit in life, about to turn 42 with a bunch of years and maybe not necessarily wisdom, but experience behind me. Like I'm a firm believer at this point that you're either part of the solution or part of the problem. And this is such a big global, like unprecedented situation that has serious ramifications. I mean, never mind the economy and the outdoor industry, which we can get into as well, but it's more just about health. And I mean, is there one person's life out there that's worth us taking risks to go get a shot or just pushing the envelope of what we should be allowed to do? And I thoroughly believe that's not the case. I mean, I'm struggling with this, obviously. And it's not easy for me to just sit inside. I mean, I go to the park at this point to walk the dogs in the morning and I wear a face mask, not necessarily because I feel like I need to for safety reasons, because I don't think that I'm really exposing myself to much risk, especially the way I walk the dogs in the park, which is not even on the trails. I just kind of zigzag all over the place. But, you know, helping to set the precedent that, you know, people should be wearing masks. And you can see clearly some people get that. And I mean, like, it's been an interesting transition to see, because I literally go out at least once or twice a day. And over the past, I'd say, week or so, the number of people wearing face masks in the parks here in Denver has gone up exponentially. And again, not that most of them necessarily need to, but I think it's part of just like setting this example and making it seem like it's more acceptable so more people can do it or feel comfortable in doing it. And that's pretty much why I'm doing it right now, at least as far as walking around the park. But yeah, I think 15 years ago, I probably would have had a different perspective. I mean, when you and I spoke about it last week, it's like basically what I said. Like if I were in the middle of filming for, you know, it would have been High Five, I think, at the time, and a little bit younger and a little bit more ignorant and cocky and just like, well, fuck, man, I want to go make the best ski movie I can, and you know, virus ain't gonna get in the way. And I would have probably taken that kind of approach, and not that we would have been, you know, around people necessarily, but we would have probably, you know, continued doing what we were doing. But, you know, at this point, even I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe I spoke with a cat operation that was still running and they were encouraging me to come up and bring Trevor just because they thought it was a great opportunity. And, you know, they were talking about the lack of lift service access and the fact that their business was booming. And, you know, I couldn't really judge them for it, but you know, I declined to participate, and it's just like, I just didn't feel like that was something that I'd feel good about, nor would it be the right message. Not that we'd post it on social media anyway, but, yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation, and it is as shitty as it is to lock ourselves inside and self-isolate for now. I think it's a means to an end, and it's going to help, for one, get us all back to some degree of normalcy that much sooner. And more importantly, it's protecting the people that we know and the people that we don't know.
Mm. Word up. Friedel, anything to add?
Well, it's as soon as everything became like very real here. It was like, I don't know what, second week of March or whatever. It was immediately, I was like, yeah, we're just, you know, well, that's it, like, for filming. We're done, like, shooting, because it's just not, like, getting a shot is just not, like, worth any sort of, like, risk that you're putting, yeah, like, the community at or whatever, because we all, no matter how much we, like, navigate risk-taking or whatever, you're still under this, like, operating with this, I guess, like, a parachute, essentially, where you have search and rescue or something always is a worst case scenario or something. And now is like,
right,
obviously a time when you cannot operate with that assumption that you can press the fucking safety button and have them come save your ass if you fuck up. So yeah, that's not something.
Well, the problem is part of that is that you can, but you're just, well, the thing that I've seen most recently, a couple events in the Tetons and one in Telluride a few weeks ago, that you can still press that button and right, get 10, 20, 30, 40 emergency responders out trying to help you. And that's part of the problem, is because all those people are programmed the same way. I mean, they're basically going to prioritize going out to save a life or try to save a life over their own personal well-being. And that's what they're all doing, and that's what they've all done. And that's again part of the issue. It's you know, putting those people at risk, and they're gonna fucking come out anyway and do their job because that's what they do. In the same way that your nurses and doctors out there are putting themselves at risk every fucking day because that's their job. And I feel like, yeah, that safety net, that parachute does exist, but you just can't, don't want to put yourself in a situation where you're going to utilize it.
Right. You never want to anyway, but now it's like doubling down on that kind of,
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So anyway, I mean, it was like a no brainer, it was like not even an issue trying to push it beyond that. It was like, yeah, we're done here. But it's like, again, we have the luxury to be able to go out, like, walk around at least. Which I frankly think is like good because like mental health aside, I think that like that's one of the better things you can do, but that's just me having access to like backyard mountains. And I totally get that. That's not, I certainly am not like promoting that in any way, because there's people that don't have that access, and like the whole world of FOMO and Instagram realities gives people, like, at very least it's just like fucking pissing people off, you know, that don't have that ability to go. If you're living in a city somewhere, you can't just like go get your oasis and like recreation in the mountains right now. So yeah, I guess that's where I'm at. But like, this, what's going on in Sweden right now, where they took a kind of different approach and they were like, being outside and all this outdoor recreation is like a huge number one health priority for healthy people. And they sort of took this different approach. I mean, we'll see how it plays out, but I thought that was interesting because in a lot of ways I agree with that. It's just like how people do that safely, I guess, is the thing that we're sort of trying to figure out right now. Because I don't like the idea of just everything being shut down. I think that's a slippery slope, and that's just a weird way to react to something, is to be like, no one can go outside and do anything, like any sort of activity. I think that's like a negative way to react to something. So I think there's like a happy medium there that we just need to figure out, basically. Without putting the community under more stress or more risk or whatever.
I think that happy medium exists. It just relies on people using common sense and a little bit of courtesy to make it work. And if people could all play by the same rules and not be idiots, I think that would be absolutely fine. But I mean, the nature of people is just not necessarily supporting that to work. And I will say though, like even in Denver, where they've had this stay at home order going on for 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks or something like that. They still do encourage people to go out and, you know, exercise, just not to necessarily recreate in groups or, you know, put themselves at risk in any way. But, you know, you definitely see lots of people out running and lots of people out riding their bikes and stuff like that. And I think that's really important. I mean, because that's what we have here. But as far as like, man, I'm actually kind of shocked that there haven't been any like emergency situations on Loveland Pass and Berthoud Pass over the past few weeks, because, well, I think it might have mellowed out a little bit, but I mean, we were national news with the video that Dustin shot that went viral from, I guess it was either Berthoud or Loveland, where it was just like Loveland. Line of cars.
The day after the resorts closed.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Exactly. I mean, just like a couple thousand people packing in. And the other interesting thing that I picked up on some of the other podcasts is that backcountry equipment sales spiked here in Colorado. Yeah. Actually went through the roof immediately after the resorts closed, which I think is a great reaction in general. But what that ultimately paints a picture of is you have all these people that don't have necessarily the right experience or knowledge out and about in the backcountry, which is one of the big problems that, you know, the ski industry faces in general, and certainly is very prevalent here in Colorado.
Right. It was already a problem before the whole situation blew up, like people not going out with beacons, not having the gear, like, and and now,
or even if they are, like, cool, man, you go like spend $1,000 on a beacon and a pack and a probe and a shovel. And if you've never used it, you've never been in any kind of situation where you've had that education, it doesn't do a ton of good. You're kind of fucking floundering around in some emergency situation. Like, even if you have the base level knowledge, you watch a video on YouTube on how to run your beacon, like in an actual emergency situation, I mean, come on, all bets are off, and it's scary. And I'm pleasantly surprised that nothing tragic has happened, you know, in the foothills and in mountains outside of Denver.
Yeah, for real. But I mean, this is something that we as like the outdoor media have been promoting for like as long as we've been doing this. So it's like really tough to like, I don't know, dial it back and be like, actually, nobody go do this right now, because it's something that we've been essentially promoting for.
Yeah, it's
for as long as we've been doing it. Yeah.
I mean, that is the challenge, right?
Yeah.
I'll be very curious, just back to the topic of production and media and skiing, what a bunch of these other groups that are working on a more traditional annual film project are going to end up doing. Because I can't help but think of everything in the context of if we were doing another annual film, like we've already kind of touched base on here. But man, I mean, that would be, you know, a new level of challenge. And I wonder, come the fall, are any of these companies just going to press the pause button and save the content they have? Or are they going to feel some level of obligation to put out a shorter version of their annual films? Like what's going to be the approach?
They're going to get halfway through the film and then it'll be like, and then came the storm of all storms. God. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. That'd be like the year of virus media.
Especially because, you know, I'm thinking of TGR and MSP in particular as two of the, you know, larger companies that are still continuing on with the annual ski film model. They don't shoot any street. They don't shoot anything like, you know, they would be loading up on content early season. And I feel like they traditionally place a lot more focus on what they're getting in the months of March and April than we would, at least like pound for pound and percentage in your finished movie.
Yeah, I guess it seemed like it was a good winter for a lot of people in general up until.
Oh, that's true too.
Early March. So maybe, I don't know. It's like everyone's in the same boat, right? Like no one has an upper hand
of
here.
Of course. Yeah.
So it'll just be like,
well, you know what?
Everybody just making the best out of what they have. So.
Of course. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm curious, like what that means for these different companies. Is the best shorter film? Is the best saving it for
milking it?
Oh my God. Is Warren Miller just going to repackage lots of old content and put it out in a new movie? Probably.
I don't know. I'm really curious to see what it means for smaller, more independent producers as well.
Oh, of course.
Like I saw the 4A homies, the Scandinavian crew, Finland, I believe, talking about how they don't have shit right now. And they're like, well, we don't know what we're going to do. We had a dope ass movie last year and now we don't have shit. And like how many people are in that same boat and are going to just end up, I don't know. It could mean that like 2021 is the most banger year ever if, you know, four or five crews hold on to their stuff and roll it into a 2-year project instead of, you know, putting out an abbreviated version of what they wanted, which would be dope. But it could also mean that this fall is a different fall than it normally is for Ski Media.
Thank God. There's too much. There's
sure, for sure. There's too much. And, you know, I think there's going to be a thinning of a herd here. But I think my point that I want to make is that I think the industry would definitely benefit from people releasing content this fall, at least some content this fall, because I think it would just like, man, people are going to want to be excited about something. And I think that's going to be important for helping to get the snow sport industry back online, if that is an option. And I think that there's a lot that's left to be sorted out as far as what a ski season could look like for 2021, if it's going to happen. And yeah, I think that if it is going to happen, Ski Media will do a lot to, well, we'll be in a position to do a lot to keep the flame burning.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be really cool. Like I'm actually excited to see how everyone reacts to this, because I think it's like such a reset button for everybody that we fucking needed. So if it blows an enema through just a bunch of bloated projects and just excessive content, then that's great. Hell yeah. Like we're all better off for that, you know? And I think that all the good stuff is going to still come out and like, you know, it'll still be the best floating to the top. So
cream always rises to the top.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, Connor, you're making, I think that you have not brought this up, but you embarked on a film project of your own this year. How do you, as something that's basically doing this for the first time, how do you feel about it?
Mm-hmm. Ah, I mean,
cause you have like, you, so, sorry to keep going here, but you have like a first impression to make sort of, right? But, do you feel that way or no?
Yeah, but maybe me for more than the others in the crew, honestly. Like, I think a lot of the fellas had perhaps made an impression already in some ways. The other filmer, Tristan, made a short film called Urban last year that got some love. And Oscar had a few clips in an Owen 3P3, I think. And Sammy was like a prolific Instagram skier, but never seriously filmed street. But for all of us, it was definitely the first time dedicating our whole season towards one project and like really committing to it. So we all still had a lot to prove. And shout out to all of them, fucking those dudes, Tyndall and Zach Fife. All of the homies went ham and worked really hard. And looking back on our season, I think we're honestly like pretty juiced on what we did in the footy that we got in the season that did happen. We got lucky. We basically blew our wad pretty early and did a real big urban trip. And then like where me and Tyndall, the backcountry homie, were like moving on doing that as soon as we got back from Quebec. And basically we're running out of money like right around when this hit.
So it was a perfect excuse to fold.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, well, maybe I don't have to ask my parents for money to stay up here in Whistler longer.
Man, we had such big plans for the spring. Yeah. Just, yeah, but you know, it's the way it goes.
Yeah, all these heli exactly. trips.
So like, where are we going to go cat skiing now? Let's switch gears here. Stop talking about this virus stuff, because I think we covered a lot of good shit.
Yeah, no doubt. Happy to.
You guys have both judged X Games Realski in the past, and I'm curious, you know, every year this contest means more and more to skiing, maybe, especially at, like, it's, you know, street skiing's time in the spotlight for all the recreationalists who might not pay that much attention to it. Josh, what were your takes on, did you have a personal favorite among the edits, you know, regardless of which one you thought should have won?
Sure. Yeah, I think that Mango is my clear winner. This is the first year that I haven't actually judged that event since it started.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I got pushed out, some age discrimination going on, but
all riders this year though, right?
Exactly. That was part of the movement. Say, yeah, in reality that's what it was. Mango definitely was my favorite. I think he had it all, and he refined and improved on what he had in his edit last year, which I thought was awesome as well. But this year, I think he had the full package deal between creativity, just a cool, funky style, like super wow factor, and lots of big, big, heavy features. Just, it had it all. And it's also like the cutting edge of all these like never been done, never been tried things, which I think is one of the most important aspects of that contest, is you want to see something that's new and fresh. And he 110% did that. And there were, the first time I got to see the edits, there were probably like a half dozen or more things that I had to like press the pause button, even on first watch, because I like to do that and just be like, what the fuck was that? And so I think no questions asked, like he was the clear winner. And then I think the podium was relatively accurate. I think, Hackle and Emil were my two and three, and I probably would have swapped it around if I was still on that judging panel. But, I mean, you could definitely make an argument either way, and both of those guys were very deserving to being on the podium. And, more over than that, I think that there was not a lot of fall-off. I think all of the edits this year were really strong. I mean, there was nobody that felt like a weak link. And this is probably, I would have said, the hardest year to judge. So in some ways, I'm thankful that I didn't have to be part of that discussion.
Word. Friedel, what are your thoughts?
Again, I'm like almost irrationally like really into this contest. I love it when it drops. I have like so much anticipation for when the videos drop, and I'm like not really,
Weird.
I'm so out of the street game, you know, but, and I did judge the first year, the first year of Real Ski Street, which was 2016, but, still in judge mode because we all judge everything anyway. I thought that the names on the podium were correct. I had a different order. I had Hackle as a clear winner. Just because in the sense of it being a video contest, that was the most start to finish three prong, like complete and like best video short, if you will. Like the three prongs being skiing, filming, music, or whatever. I think that just connected.
I don't think that they even put filming in the mix anymore, man. I think that's sure kind of gone by the wayside, unfortunately.
Well, filming editing is part of the overall impression, is it not?
It is for sure. But I will say, after being part of that contest from the judging side last year, And even 2 years ago, there were better examples of it where, you know, I was originally brought on like you in large part due to our experience in filming and representing that side of things. And I mean, I was pretty much shut down by everybody, and it was made very clear to everybody that filming didn't really play a role as far as how we were to approach this. Unfortunately.
Well, that's whack. But
not that that should deter you from your opinion, man.
No. Well, I mean, in my, so what I'm saying here is that it still does, even though they're not saying that, even if it's like 10% of the quote unquote, like slope style score sheet or whatever, it's still, if overall impression is 40%, that's part of overall impression. It's just the factor that you can't, the intangible, right? And that's more what I'm talking about. I'm not saying like, oh, sure. I'm just saying that this video, like, in ways that I can't, like, you have to, like, what speaks to you, right, as like a complete thing. And I just think that was it. And
yeah, well, hats off to Payban, man.
Yeah, it's just like those guys had like a vision, and I think, I mean, everyone had a vision, of course, but I just thought that spoke to me as like just this really complete piece that had some fucking ill skiing in it too. And not to take away from the other ones either, yeah. Dude. Mango, I mean, God, he's the golden child right now. Like, just, yeah, I'm like, I have a deep appetite for anything that he's doing. So, like, for damn. Sure. Yeah.
I think, though, that your take resonates with how cohesive and well-edited and filmed his edit from last year was, the Didn't Podium, because that was... it felt, even though his skiing this year was like a step up and like insano.
Yeah, more like traditionally banger or something.
Right. The previous edit was more watchable.
I agree.
As far as just music choice and the editing and how it vibes, like last year's like hit a little bit harder. And then it made it hard for me to like be, I don't know, have a clear head about how I was thinking about it, because I was like, well, damn. Last year's music, okay, but like the spot selection this year is so insanely fucked. Like,
yeah,
it's tough. I don't know. I'm sure you saw Clayton Villa's comment about like how much Hackles like just felt like you were inside of his head.
Yep.
And I love that.
Yep. Yeah, there's just something else there. Like, I guess that my takeaway, and maybe there's like some personal bias here too. There's always going to be some of that, but you know,
sure.
That's all part of it.
Just always enjoyed his, like, the way that those guys are pushing it and trying to do something that like hasn't been done before, versus like just having a hit list or whatever of like X, you need X this, X that or whatever. And it's more, it's beyond that. But I mean, and that's the same way that I also agree that Mango should have been on the podium, if not won last year. And Phil, the first year, laid out something that was just remarkable. And yeah, I mean, Phil Castleman and Brady are another example of making these such complete videos. But every year, my takeaway in judging this is like, what wins is like what you're going to remember next year. And like what I remember from last year's contest was Mango's video most, you know, like that stuck out the most. And the same with Phil the year before. And I'm merely speaking about the number one spot here. And that's the way I felt with like Hackle. And like, sometimes you only need one or two shots to make that a thing.
Word. Well, that's my next question, is what was the most impactful shot of the whole contest?
I think what sticks with me the most is Hackle's like switch carve under that bridge railing.
That's one of them for sure.
Yeah.
Watching it right now. It's nuts.
It's so nuts. And the and shots it's just are not beautiful too.
They are. It's just not expected, right? Like, that's what, I don't know, we've talked about this a bunch before, but it's like when you feel like you've seen it all and you get kind of jaded to watching ski videos, when somebody does something that you're not expecting, that's what hits. It sticks with you. So, yeah. And that's the same, like, when Mango did his, like, nollie backflip or whatever you want to call it last year, it was like, that shit is imprinted in my brain. Like,
you know what got me this year is Mango's switch tail press manual to
Gainer Misty,
like Misty 5.
Yeah, like
it's mental.
I mean, I still, I still don't quite process mentally like how that works, especially because I think he comes in like looking under his right shoulder, and so and he's going left. Like, there's so many weird things going on that, yeah, I still don't quite understand it. And it's that was one of the big standouts for me.
Oh, absolutely. That's like,
yeah,
debatably the craziest, like, what the fuck moment in the entire contest for sure. And just next level, like, foresight and like just the like bodily, like, body control
awareness to be able to and
do that is completely fucked. Like, I can't even actually like mimic it in my brain, you know?
Nope. My brain does not do that either. Connor, what about you?
Mango Dub 12. I think that just opening the seg like that with like this most bonkers dub in the streets into just like the slam, and then my first reaction was like,
the slam is so nice that they left that.
Yeah,
in.
Exactly. Because my first reaction was like, well, that's a crash. Where's the make? And then I watched the seg again, and I'm like, no, that's a make. And then it's just like the most insanely fucked bail on the run out. Like, that shot just sticks in my brain really hard. There's lots of other ways you could go with that, but.
Yeah, I totally agree. That was on my list. Impactful.
Yeah.
Really cool. It's like, and yeah, more about what they left in too. The whole shot is just so fucking raw, man. Like, love it.
Yeah, exactly. And the light is nice. The shot is killer. Like,
it's at that cool spot too.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's like a rail there at that spot too that other people have done. And
yeah,
they were just like, nah, fuck it. Just put a cheese wedge in and gonna chuck meat. Like, it's so dope.
Which, like, you could argue is like an X Game style thing to do. Like, oh, we need a. I think that they're sort of like, we need a. I guess, like, there's been a theme where everyone needs, like, some sort of street jump. You know what I mean?
Something.
But, which is, like, debatable if that's cool or not. Like, but it's like, oh, you need, like, an X amount of rotations or something. But, That one hit right. That was dead.
Yeah.
It was huge too. I mean, getting to see where they like stack the landing and he's like bottom of the train. He just like, yeah, nuts.
Yeah. I think that's why I liked it too, is because it felt like it went against the grain for what his style has been in the past. Like, he's like stunting on like, I can do this. I've just chosen not to, but y'all are gonna see now. Like,
yeah, exactly. He went X mode, dude.
At least as far as like filming street has been. Like, it's not been like hitting big jumps. Like, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Any other takes or takeaways from those edits?
Props to all those guys, man.
Word.
Lots of good shit.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and it was unfortunate that Phil didn't get to go round three on that, because it was just impressive that he even signed up for that to do it again. But because it's such an intensive thing to be a part of. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is a video project that you've been following along with this year that you're excited to see footage from?
Well, I would say Henrik's movie first and foremost, but I don't know if that's supposed to come out this fall or next fall.
This fall, right? This is year two.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, there you go then. I think that's my answer.
Dope.
Yeah. I mean, just knowing how hard, well, all those dudes go. And I mean, just having a bunch of our friends and fam that have been working on that project. So I've been like really tuned in with all the Instagram stories all winter long. And I can imagine it's nuts. And when you have people like Dark talking about how his mind is consistently being blown by what he's seeing Henrik do, it's like, well, you know, I don't need to be sold on it to begin with, but, I know that's going to be a pretty awesome piece of filmmaking and skiing.
Back that salute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they hit the road gap, right? Were you and Baker at that time, Friedel?
We had just gotten back, like, the day before or something. But, yes, we were in Japan, and then we had come home, and those guys were still here for a couple more days, yeah.
Dope.
Yeah, they actually, like, it was pretty funny. They got quite a lot of attention for themselves because they put up all these crazy ass jumps like all over the place up here. So all the Baker locals are like, what is up with this like Heinrich guy? Like, he's crazy. Like these dudes are nuts. And the conditions like weren't even that great, I would say, but you put Carl, Henrik, and Dark in the same session together and they are gnarly. they're a force. So they got it. And then, man, it was funny. Like for a month straight, like the dust off session on all those kickers was hilarious. Like people were hitting all of these salute like jumps for like a month straight. It seemed like afterwards. It's funny. Be like, oh, you just drive up. Be like, oh, somebody's hitting this one.
Like they set up. They hit the road gap, like, similar spot to where the classic road gap is, but, like, almost hippie, right? Like, I talked to someone who had been there after, and they were like, yeah, what the fuck was that lip? Like, there's no rain run. It's poppy as hell, and it's a completely different gap than, like, the classic one. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, they didn't know. I mean, I guess, like, if you know where the proper spot is, then you know, and then that's the only way to do it, but I think they just went there being like, yeah, this is the way we're going to do it. And whatever way feels right for them is going to work. So it's just, they built it in a way that hasn't been built before. It looked wrong to us, but we just are used to seeing it the other way.
Right.
But it worked out. I know for a fact it worked out for those guys.
Sick. That's hype. What about you, Friedel? What's a project you're looking forward to?
Oh, that one for sure. I'm also the new James Bond. It's like Daniel Craig's last year. Got delayed.
Dude, that's coming out. That's coming out Christmas now. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see here. We got a bunch project dropping that I think is a more proper film than like Elnor was sort of just a... not a side project, but like a micro project for them. And I think that they're trying to go a little more bigger with Helena. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I know that those guys have been, aside Paben filming Hackle and whatnot, they have they've done some shit. Forrest Bailey as well. He's working on, he's making similar to how Parker and I are doing the thing. He's making a video called
It's Quiet. Called something.
It's called Everything.
I just watched his combo part from last year, putting all his clips in one place, and that was so nice to see. So I'm excited for that one too. I think this will be our last question here. You guys got any viewing recommendations for people who might be spending a lot of time on the couch right now, be they skiing or any viewing recommendations? What do y'all
Instagram,
think about
Instagram is popping off right now, man. Watch the stories.
watching a lot of push-ups.
lots of push-ups, lots of what people are eating, and cats and some dogs, mostly cats. I don't know. Already touched on Tiger King. That's pretty much using abuse as a topic of conversation at this point. Otherwise, ski related stuff, I'd have to point out that we've been working our butts off here in the office, actually going through all the old servers and bonus content archives and reorganizing our athlete pages on the Level One site. It's insane. You could go down a pretty deep rabbit hole just clicking around on the website right now, and the content that we've uploaded in the past few weeks and posted is pretty insane.
Hell yeah.
So there's my little plug. And then this week, which sadly was supposed to be Super Unknown Finals week. Actually, I kind of didn't get to touch on that before. We were just talking about spring plans and how things change. I mean, that's a funny one because, this is the first year since 2013 that there isn't a Super Unknown Finals, at least in the spring. We got some backup plans. If things return to some level of normalcy, the folks over at Wendell's and Mount Hood have offered to host Super Unknown Finals for us this summer, which would be amazing if it can happen. I'm not holding my breath, but I mean, that would be an amazing opportunity for us to get it done. And if it doesn't happen this summer, then I'm hopeful that we can find some place to host it in early December, which would be, you know, a different way to do it, but still better than throwing in the towel, I think. But
sure. I mean, it seems like you're pretty committed to having a finals event for that group of finalists whenever
it can
happen.
I really want to, man.
So, yeah, respect for that.
Thanks. I mean, it means more than anything else. That is probably one of the things that means most to me about what we have going on at Level One right now. And it's just as far as an annual tradition, especially in the context of taking away the annual feature films, which, you know, obviously are even more important to me in the overall scheme of things. But you pull that out of the equation, and then the tradition of Super Unknown is something that I was really, really adamant about continuing. Mm-hmm. And where there's a will, there's a way. And beyond my interest in what it means to me, I think more than anything else, it's what it means to the finalists. And, you know, year in and year out, having these people show up from all over the world, and the vast majority of which I've never met before, you know, so many of them leave at the end of the week saying that this is the greatest week of their lives. This is the most fun they've ever had. And, you know, it's to be able to provide that kind of opportunity means so much. And I want to see it happen somehow, some way. And it would be a crying shame to not be able to give this year's group of finalists that kind of opportunity. And then add into the mix, of course, the fact that we had three girls come into finals this year. So this is the first time we will have ever had that kind of platform, an actual like women's finals, which would have been so cool to have. Mm-hmm. So much more than just like, I'm not going to say that Georgia was like the token female last year, but as we were figuring out how we could successfully run this kind of event, and making sure we had a talent pool deep enough to justify it, you know, last year she was the only one that really, you know, fit into the equation. So that was simple. But this year we had so many more talented girls and deserving girls apply or submit that, yeah, we were able to grow that component. And it was something that I was really excited to see and just like grow it in that way and provide another platform for women and women skiing.
Yeah. And build on that so that you get even, you know, two times more of that same entry pool next year when people are seeing that in the edits that are, you know, will be eventually put out.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if there could be, you know, 10 men and 10 women in the finals, that would be insane. That'd be so cool. And then we had all kinds of other exciting stuff going on for this year, which, you know, sadly may or may not ever happen depending on sponsors and budgets and all that fun stuff. But you know, we were going to be able to offer a cash prize to the winners to go out and shoot their own parts next year, which was something that I was really excited about giving them as well. Because, I mean, that's another thing where you take away the, you know, one of the traditional prizes or probably the biggest benefit of the event, which was working with Level One and being invited to our film shoots. And if we weren't going to be doing a traditional movie, like what can we do to fill that void and provide some kind of opportunity? And the next best thing, and maybe even a better thing, depending on how you look at it, if you could just straight up give people a budget to go out and shoot for their own part. And I mean, that would be such a cool thing. And now we're talking about trying to bring back Filmer Unknown as well and how we can work that into the equation. So many cool and exciting things going on. And yep, pause button just kind of got pressed.
Yeah. But well, again, it's cool to hear about how they're still in the works, like, or what has been in the works. And
sure.
I'm sure you're not giving up on any of it. So,
oh no, definitely not, man. I mean, I'm excited for the long-term prospects here, but I just really hope we can pull something off for, well, Super Unknown 17 in particular, just because it's an amazingly talented crop of kids, and I know they're all real hyped to make something happen. So I'm going to do my best to give it to them.
Dope. Yeah. Fingers crossed for Hood. I'm not optimistic, but I'm still trying to be positive, because no shade at Mount Snow, but Super Unknown at Mount Hood would be so hyped. So I would be really stoked on that. Friedel, what about you? Any viewing recommendations? Any final thoughts in general?
Viewing recommendations, I don't know. I feel like I've watched it all. Finally watched Euphoria on HBO. I recommend that one.
Okay.
And of course, the movie of the year, which I think everyone's seen by now, is Parasite. Great film. But otherwise, I'm so clapped out on quarantine content. I'm just
weird.
But yeah, and archival stuff. It just feels like my brain is shifting, and I need to make new stuff is what I need to do. Quit watching old stuff.
There's a lot to be said for that, man. I'll tell you what, though, yeah. I'm continually impressed with when I dive into these servers, finding the content that hasn't been released before, you know, just random shots here and there. And then even just, you know, edits that you're just dusting off at this point that haven't been seen in a while. And it's like, damn, that really still holds water. And it's kind of cool to, well, you know, we're kind of forced to take that approach right now, but I mean, it's not all terrible. It's a cool opportunity to revisit some of the stuff. And
I think when you're always in the engine of just spitting out new stuff, then there's some gems. You never get the time to really actually like look at some of those gems. So it's good.
Absolutely.
But if people haven't seen Feast or Famine, that's Mike King's new edit. Short film that is like new that just dropped a week and a half ago or whatever. So, or I guess, I don't know when this is going to drop, but, it dropped in the end of March. So go check that out. It's about, working on a farm in Michigan in the summer and living the dream in the winter. And that's the new.
And it's really, really well done. Like hats off to those dudes. Spencer Milbacher edited it. And I think a number of people helped shoot it, but it's just so well put together. It's a great watch.
Yeah, I saw your name in the credits there, Friedel, right?
Yeah.
Couple trips. I'm sure some level one link ups that Dunn was along for that shooting for that.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Dope. The last two seasons or so, yeah.
Perhaps the first ski film to ever have Great Lake surfing in it. I was hyped.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But otherwise, I mean, do you want to touch on what the mission is here, Connor, and what we're doing and why we're even recording this to begin with?
I'm gonna like put a bunch of stuff like that in the intro, so hopefully you listened to the intro and didn't just tune through it because it has an ad. But yeah, we might as well touch on it here at the end too, that we're trying to, you know, this is a one-off episode catching up with Friedel and Josh and talking about the industry, and then we're going to basically dive back into the level 20 format to, you know, focus on but not level one. So talking about other people's movies and doing deep dives on projects from their past that have meant a lot to them. So, I'm super excited for that. And there's a lot of people that I'm really excited we're hopefully going to talk to. We'll see who we actually do get to talk to. But from who we have been talking about, who would be someone that you guys are excited to like focus on and talk more about?
Oh man, I'm excited to talk to everybody, but maybe that's just because I've been so self-isolated that I'm just excited to talk to people in general. But for real, I'm excited to talk to primarily, I think my list revolves around people that used to be heavily involved in the ski industry and have gone on to other things. As I was just trying to, you know, rack my brain, it's like, yeah, I'd love to, you know, do a deep dive with Martini. Oh, I'd love to, you know, hit up the Sherpas dudes and see what they've got going on this year and in particular. And I think in large part, that's this like subconscious thing that these are all people that moved on from the ski industry, which is, you know, in some ways part of the path that, you know, I'm personally on, so that's probably where that comes from. But at the same time, I'm not ever going to go quite down the path that they did because I'm not really moving on. But yeah, I mean, those are a couple of the people. I'm also really excited to talk to some of the younger guys at Strictly, for example, and figure out what's going on in their world. And I mean, yeah, so many cool people on the list that I'm hopeful that we can connect with.
Me too. Hyped about it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, boys. Good times. Great to catch up with both of you.
Yeah, likewise.
Likewise. Thank you for taking the time, guys.
Thanks for listening, y'all. Tell a friend about the podcast if you enjoy it. As always, that is much appreciated. Check out the Level 1 website for hours of free entertainment. Crash Reels, bonus segments, movies 1 through 9 are still free. That's balanced through Turbo. Check that out. We got the 20 years of Level 1 special edition poster right now. We got a new collab hoodie with Tall T that I'm a big fan of. The Level 1 basketball jerseys are only 20 bucks right now. Check it out. Tons of stuff on the website worth your while. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Josh and Friedel for talking with me. Shout out Shuey and Stefan for their work behind the scenes as always. And we will talk to you sometime soon.